Boom, we're on. Today's guest, we've got the Wolfpack Hunters. We've got Ollie and Gordon. First of all, lads, I just want to congratulate on the work you do. I think it's amazing because I don't think people realise the extent of what you have to go through and see every day of your lives, especially the threats that also comes towards your life. You've had over 100 stings. You've had nearly 60 convictions so far, with the rest pending. So, listen, fair play, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Cheers, bro.
Obviously, you need to cover your face today, Gordon, aye, because you're one of the main guys who goes up and
I'm the person that confronts the paedophiles.
So, Wolfpack Hunters has been going over for 4 years, apparently, so how did it start?
It just started because we saw teams down south, and that mean they were like carrying out stings, and there was nobody doing it in Scotland. What I mean? So I felt as if somebody had to do it in Scotland because Scottish Wains weren't being protected, whereas there was teams down south protecting Wains. I mean, so I just started hunting.
And it's just grown tenfold from there.
I met Oliver and it's just grew from there.
So how's it been, Oliver, the last couple of years being involved with it?
It's mostly been like, I feel like I'm quite focused on whatever I'm doing. So normally, like, I've just taken it in, like, I'm doing this thing and I'm going to commit to, like, 2 hours a day, so I know that I'm doing that, like after work or something. I'm just going to settle down with a cup of tea, smoke a spliff, and sit and talk to pedos for like 2 hours maybe, if it's flowing. If it's not, maybe I'll come back later. But yeah, I mean, I feel quite adapted to it.
So how do you manage to get a target? How does that come about? To get someone to start chatting to them?
I mean, so at the moment, the thing that I'm doing a lot is I'm using more like Facebook as a situation, but before we used to use a lot of other apps as well, and we still do. So we get images donated from people who follow the page who are over 18. They send us images of when they were children, and then they send us some ID and a statement to say that we can use them. Then we use those photos to set up social media profiles. So like I'll set up my Facebook profile with purporting to be an 11-year-old boy. So like I'm always an 11-year-old boy at the moment. That's like my kind of, I've gone down. I started at 14 when we first began, and now I'm kind of at 11. So I feel like I get less traffic, but I feel like it's more of a long game, you know. So the profile's dormant. I make it and then I just leave it. But pretty much, I mean, anyone who makes a profile on Facebook will know, if you're a child or if you've got a child, that like if you make a child's Facebook, you're just going to get like 200 people adding you in maybe the first couple of hours, or like just people messaging you. I tend to sort through a lot of them because a lot of them are from like America, Canada, Australia, Germany, or you know,
India,
wherever.
Stuff like that.
India. All different continents, and so we just really can't do that much about that.
So you get messages straight away from adults messaging kids at 11?
Yeah, definitely on Facebook. It's like Facebook, and then there's a couple of other apps which are very, like, you know that if you put a picture of a kid on there, you can definitely get people contacting you, and you won't have to do anything to elicit a response, it will just come.
So what kind of messages do you get at the start? Is it X-rated straight away, or is it kind of PG where...
It's always the same. It's always, oh, you're too young to be on here. You shouldn't be on here. There's bad men on here. They're going to try and talk to you in a certain way. Bye-bye kind of thing. And we always know an hour later they're back. So what are you doing on this app? What are you doing here? What are you here for and all that? And then it just descends through there, right into sexual talk. They're about to send pictures of themselves, asking for pictures. It just descends into...
just gruesome stuff.
Gruesome.
So how does that affect you guys to be seeing these photos and videos? Because I know that people have sent you countless amount of videos and they've added you to certain groups, like kids getting raped, abused. How does that affect you mentally?
It's horrific, you know what I mean? But like we've just became detached to it, you know what I mean? It's just became, just inspires you to hunt harder, that's what it does. I mean, it just makes you want to catch them harder, you know what I mean? It makes you want to catch more, catch them faster, you know what I mean? It's just,
they say there's one in every 30's got paedophile tendencies, so that's one near enough every close, every street basically everywhere, because we spoke earlier and you did a search on the computer and there was like seven in a 500 meter radius
to my flat, you know what I mean? So seven Schedule 1 offenders, meaning they've touched a wean, you know what I mean? Like meaning they've physically abused a child, you know what I mean? That's scary when you think there's weans running about all over the place playing.
How do you feel when the people who watch your stuff and say, oh, they should just join the police, or the negative comments? First of all, you've had 60 convictions so far. We're nearly 60 convictions. Yeah. That's potentially saving hundreds and hundreds of kids. I seen a guy yesterday, was nearly a million downloads, video downloads of kids being abused. He only got 27 months. I know some of you guys are getting a lot of pressure from the police, and some of you are getting bigger sentences for actually catching paedophiles than actually paedophiles themselves, because you are getting charged by giving them distress. And this is fucking guys who want to fuck kids. This is the way the system is what. The system's got a flaw in it just now. I don't know all the rules and regulations, but for me personally, for you guys, I've got kids. And for people who are against Jews, are either paedophiles themselves, or have not got kids and don't really understand how dangerous it is out there. How are you dealing with the negative comments also?
They've no impact on us whatsoever. Like, who are they? You know what I mean? I don't respect any man, you know what I mean, that doesn't show respect. You know what I mean? So I don't care about somebody I don't respect. So if I don't respect them, their opinion means nothing to me. You know what I mean? So if they tell me, oh, you're a thug, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be taking that guy doing like that, why, you know, he's a paedophile. Like, why are you supporting a paedophile?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we are, right? Kind of thuggish. Right. Vigilantes, we're not professionals, we're not the police, we don't want to be the police, like, all of that. You know, we've gone to the police with chat logs when we haven't been able to find people and said, like, look, you have to get this person. It's a guy who's talking to a 12-year-old. We think he's got these connections in other countries, blah, blah, blah. Which were countries that are, like, synonymous with child abuse, right? 3 months later, he was still messaging me. So then me and Gordon, just after court one day, we were like, oh, God, let's just traipse around Edinburgh and find him. And then we found him, and he was arrested. His case still hasn't been heard. It's still pending. But, you know, if we'd have just left it to the police, we might have never... He might, you know, at least he's basically had to move out of where he was.
Yeah, and he's on the register.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's waiting.
People bitch and moan, right, about us going live, for instance, right, they say, oh, you shouldn't go live, it will jeopardise the case. No, it doesn't, it's never used in the evidence, right, so people need to understand that before they run their mouth on Facebook. Uh-huh. It doesn't get used, so we can't jeopardise a case. And it's a case that we're building as well. We create that case. Uh-huh. I mean, that's not a police case and we're getting in the way yet. That's a case that we've built, we've took it to trial, and we get the conviction. Uh-huh. We don't jeopardise it because that video's no used in evidence. What I mean?
Have you ever picked up, have you ever got information that's been wrong? Have you ever came across anyone that's it's been wrong and you've got it wrong? Because I've seen some videos, I think...
We saved someone from getting stoned. There was a guy who we believed to be talking to an 11-year-old, and we were all over Govan looking for the... You know, it was like, really couldn't find him and really getting... But it eventually turned out that it was totally malicious, and somebody had been using his pictures specifically to talk to... So I don't know the outcome of that, but I know that the police did charge the person that they found to be doing it. Mm-hmm. I always work on the assumption that nobody is like... Nobody hates anyone that much or is insane enough that they would risk abusing a child just to get one up on somebody. But it's obviously not the case. Mm-hmm. Like,
so what evidence would you need then to go and... How much do you need a certain amount of evidence to go and get someone to get this thing and get the...
We've got like set guidelines that we have to follow, you know what I mean? That we set, like we set the guidelines and we teach our decoys to ask certain questions so that the person, it's got to be the person, you know what I mean? Like we get their phone number after them as well and we'll track that phone number. So it's, we basically, we've got a couple of safeguards in place that ensure it's the person behind that profile, because we wouldn't go and... I just couldn't sting the wrong person. If I stung the wrong person, I think my life would be over, not meaning like I couldn't put that on somebody. Hmm. Not meaning I think it'd be so disgusting, it would make me disgusting, not meaning I just couldn't date to somebody. Yeah.
Because even if it wasn't them and you've got a video of them doing it, that's their life ruined. No matter if they're guilty or not guilty, you know yourself, aye, that shit sticks.
That's it.
I think lots of teams, and us included, are beginning to include video calls into the communication with the predator, so that we know that whoever's on the end of that phone and whoever's speaking to the child, we've then got like a still live photo of their face, so that you can't get a like, well, or who, why are you on the phone?
So it's not a mistaken identity kind of thing. What kind of stories do these people ask for you to do when they're speaking to the decoys?
Hey, well, we had a guy for the Royal Conservatoire, right? He's been punished, so I can actually talk about this guy. Paul Plummer, he was like a...
lecturer. All over the world teaching people.
He was a lecturer at the Royal Conservatoire in Scotland, Glasgow Town Centre. He, Oliver was a decoy on him, and he was a 13-year-old boy at this point. And Paul Plummer told him to go in and abuse his 11-year-old brother. You know what I mean? And when he said, oh, he won't like that, it's not about what he likes, it's about what I want. And this guy was a lecturer in a university, you know what I mean, in Glasgow. You know what I mean? A respected man with a BBC profile and things like that.
Amazing career he had behind
but
him.
But that don't mean shit, yous will know best. These guys are probably... Listen, you see the videos, I see the videos, and you just... There's just a look where you... I don't know if it's because you know because they've been caught, but you just think they just look dodgy, they look suspicious, but there is some out there who's surprising to yourselves. I work with one of the leading polygraph experts in the UK. He does the polygraph test and he's also got eye recognition. Do you think these should be getting put in place for people to work with kids to ask them a question? Aye. Are you sexually attracted to kids? Because if you're a predator, obviously you're going to become a priest or a teacher or somewhere that works with kids, because it's an easy target. There's so many people out there who has been abused that don't come forward because they blame themselves or they're too fucking scared. Do you think those things should be put in place for certain jobs to ask certain questions, a polygraph test? 100%. I know people say they're not 100%, but with the eye recognition in, they are, because I know they're now using these tests in courts for paedophiles. So they are.
You should 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%, yeah. Because at the end of the day, see a DBS check and an enhanced disclosure, they mean nothing. It just means you've not been caught yet.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with it when you meet these people who you know who have abused kids or want to abuse kids? How do you manage to keep it together without harming these people? How can you stay strong and focus? Is it because you know you're getting a conviction? Because let's face it, somebody says, I put a post on that you were coming on, someone says they should just be kicking fuck out them, but yous are getting bigger sentences without touching them. If yous do that, yous are in the jail and these guys roam free.
That's exactly the point that people have got to understand, right? Of course, I would love to run up to the paedophile and start smashing them about oil the street, right? But I did that, I go to jail for 5 years and I've got one paedophile. Whereas by no smashing them about the street, I can expose them, get them to jail, ruin their lives. And now we've caught over 100.
Hmm. What's the worst case you've came across?
Well, it's difficult because when you say it initially, I think of someone like Scott McKillop, because he's like the person that, someone that I've caught that was talking to like the, like he was talking to a 9-year-old and like it was hardcore and it was unexpected. But then I think really about people like Edward Barr, Jordan Yardley, you know, the earlier people, but who are like, as soon as they were on the stings, you have people in the inbox being like, he's done this before, he did this to me. Craig Rayburn.
There's so many.
Also
that
very
are...
bad. Total repeat offender. Mm-hmm. He'd raped real children. He was a football coach and like something to do with a church. I mean, he's in prison, or he was in prison.
He was in prison, but he's supposedly out now.
Yeah.
So why do you think the sentences are so lenient for paedophiles who are raping kids and some of them only getting 12 months? Why do you think the system is like that just now?
There's no money in child abuse. That's the bottom line. Yeah. Like, you think they're fighting a war on drugs, right? Why? Not mainly, why not put that money into fighting child abuse? Something that truly does matter. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? Because there's no money in child abuse. There's no money. The councils don't make money if the police catch a paedophile. The courts don't make money. Whereas if they catch like a drug dealer and they take like a Proceeds of Crime Act happen, you know what I mean? They've made money. You I mean, it's all about money to the Crown.
Yeah.
I think the official police line is that it's better for them not to go to prison. This is what I've been told. Because if they go to prison, they don't have to do any rehabilitation courses. Whereas if they just get, like, non-custodial sentence, then they'll have to go to a rehab course. But that all really relies on the fact as to whether you believe that rehabilitation or, like, changing someone's sexual orientation is possible, which I would totally say it isn't. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe it's better to just go to prison.
Yeah. Everybody's got different theories and opinions what should happen to paedophiles. We spoke earlier, and in America, they were chemically castrating
paedophiles,
but that shit didn't work either, did it?
No, they just turned into using, like, instruments. Like, they were raping the veins with, like, vibrators, like, brush handles and things like that.
Oof.
Because, like, they can take that away, but they can't take the mind away. I mean, like, it's in their mind, like, they're sick in the mind, I mean, and there's no cure in it, mm-hmm. I mean? It's like I said, there is only one cure for paedophilia, I mean? That there is only one. They've got to understand that Waynes have got to come first. Like, Waynes are the most innocent people there is. There's nobody more innocent than a wee baby, I mean? Their innocence should be protected at all costs, I mean? So, if you've got this man that's preying on that way and trying to steal that innocence off that way, no caring about the damage that it's going to do to that way's childhood and future, why does he deserve leniency? Why does he deserve protection? What I mean?
I don't think people realise the extent of what yous have to go through on a daily basis, also risking your life, because it's okay people saying vigilantes, but your life's in danger, because these are the most fearsome fucking unhappiest, angriest people in the world who would turn on you in an instant. If they're willing to abuse kids, there'll be no blink of an eye to take away your life.
So weak.
Yeah.
It just depends. I mean, obviously, like, there have been some.
What kind of violence have yous
received? Well, Robert Montgomery pulled a knife on us last Christmas, and I was just like, fuck, I've got no idea how to react to this. Like, it's really not a situation that I'm in a lot. But luckily, CC was, like, much more on it. It was only really me that he wanted to stab anyway.
Why?
Because I was a man, so obviously I had to get stabbed. But he didn't. And I think realistically, actually it was quite good, because what happened was the police put him through court for the knife, fined him, let him walk out of court, and then just rearrested him on the steps again for the grooming, which, are, you know, like, sometimes the police have got a good mm-hmm. sense of humour in that respect.
Yeah.
Like, just really fucking with somebody, like... And that's why sometimes I think, like, although prison is going to be a much more unpleasant experience, mm-hmm. there's something perversely kind of punishing about putting someone through loads of courses and they've got to, like, get to somewhere once a week. And, you know, it's, like, just totally bureaucratic inconvenience is also quite an interesting mm-hmm. form of punishment.
What do you think, though, in the prison system? Because if they're all in together, then this is where they'll form a wee group. Yeah. And they'll start sending each other photos.
We talked about this last.
So how do you think the prison system should change as well? Because if you're on one wing, the protection wing or the beast wing, you're all together. Yeah. But that's a recipe for disaster. You should be in fucking separated with the big boys. And if you get done in there, then so be it. Because there's plenty of guys who do get done in the jail who are not doing as vicious of crimes as these. I'm not saying people should get about killing everybody, but... They should spread them out, I believe, because if you're in there, that's just a recipe for that. They'll feel at home, sharing each other's stories to each other.
Aye.
What do you think should change in that respect?
Well, they've got to put them in general population, right? They're being protected. The Wayne wasn't protected for them. So why are they being protected for the crimes that they put themselves in? You know what I mean? We were talking the other day, and we've got, like, I think it's 6 in Berlin right now. You're probably all sitting on a table going, that fucking wolf pack, you know what I mean? What will we do when we get out? You know what I mean? So, like, we've got a wee clique of guys that we've got all teamed up now. So, should they really be allowed to do that? Should they really be able to sit at a table together?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about things together? No, I think they should be... See, if they don't put them in general population, 23-year-old dub up. That's what it is in bar anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so when you're on remand, you're dubbed up 23 years a day.
Mm-hmm.
They're that with the paedophiles. Double them up 23 hours a day.
How many people's in your team?
God, it really fluctuates. There's a core. Would you say, like, maybe 5 or 6 people in kind of core, and then
There's about 20 people in the team, but usually it's been as high as 35.
How do you pick someone to join a team?
Badly. We're really crap at it. sometimes we pick great people. Gordon's much better at it than me.
But you read people better being for the schemes.
Aye.
Yeah. But quite often, if I'm going to teach them how to decoy, it's really interesting actually, because quite often we'll meet people who don't have like computer skills and stuff like that, and so it's really interesting for them to learn. Not everyone wants to, but I think it's really great as like a transferable skill that we try to teach people just basic things like how to make a PDF.
Yeah.
How to save files and send them across, stuff like that. But so we do have a system in place to try and vet people and also make sure they can do certain things, but it doesn't always work.
Oliver deals with the decoy side because he is really good. He is a really good decoy, Oliver, So I totally trust his judgment when it comes to bringing on a decoy. All right, some assholes slip the net. And it will be like drama, But they're soon booted out the team, I would deal with the security because I want people out that are not going to run at the first sign of trouble. Like, I'm not interested in like these SIA badges and things like that. I want to know that the person's got their backs, This person's not going to take a back step for a paedophile, And that is what our security consists of,
You've got over 100,000 people on your Facebook page as well. Your videos get shared millions and millions of times. You've got, do you do this for free as well?
Aye.
So you do this based off your own back. Again, that shows courage and respect. And again, I can only take my hat off to you for what you're doing. Because the people who are negative, I don't think they see the bigger picture. If they were to come along one day and actually see what you do and hear the stories, they're going to be for you, because if anybody's against you, I just don't see their method of thinking.
It's just being on the internet though, isn't it? Like, people who like criticise us, probably if they met us or if they came across us face to face or anything like that, they wouldn't be on there typing that stuff. And that's not because like Gordon's really terrifying or something. It's just because people on the internet talk a load of rubbish. They just type the first thing that comes into their mind, right? Like,
See the messages. Have you got to wait till they send the first message first?
Oh yeah.
But where does entrapment come into play, that you can try and force it upon people? Where,
well, it's really interesting in Scotland actually. Like, I suppose one of the things when people criticise Wolfpack, one of the first things that I want to know is, like, are you from England? I mean, obviously I'm from England, but in England the laws are different. In Scotland, as I understand it, you can't entrap someone as a civilian in any way. You can only entrap someone if you're, like, working for the police. So technically I could be messaging people all the time, left, right and centre, but I wouldn't because I think that... Although, well, I sort of think if I... if I message someone first... and I'm an 11-year-old boy and you carry on and get really sexual and arrange to meet, have you committed a crime? Like, you have, right? And you should still be dealt with. Because how do we deal with real-life situations? When I was a kid, when I was, like, 13, I was approaching... I always tell this story, like, 97, my family got the internet quite early. I was talking to adults on the internet then and, like, having kind of graphic conversations. But are those adults in the wrong? They are, sort of, aren't they? Because I'm a 13-year-old kid at that point.
I think just we won't go down that route morally. I think it is. I think we just will not make first contact just down to morals. Just we want these people to approach us so that we know that they've came looking.
Does that help better in court as well? That they've contacted
because
you first?
See, even though it's law, it's fact. It's no fact when you get to court. It's like, we've nae Section 24... What is it? Section 24...
24A in England.
24A. It's like they're allowed to take the predator down, hoard them there until police arrive. It's citizen's arrest.
Yeah.
We've not got that in Scotland. But I found out under common law of Scotland, if somebody breaches common law, you can like use reasonable force to hoard them there till the police come.
So, but you're not as protected. Like, if you break their arm, or if we break their arm, there can still be some repercussion. Whereas in England, I think you're a bit more covered.
How many times have you had the jail, Gordon?
25 times now.
So you've had the jail 25 times for tracking down paedophiles?
25, aye.
Ever had a sentence for it?
Not been sentenced yet, no, but I've been remanded twice and I've just been found guilty in forfeit there. and on trial in Edinburgh, and on trial in Kilmarnock as well.
Are they trying to shut you down?
Try to shut us down. Try to hit me with a banning order.
There must be, but listen, there's always good and bad in life, no matter what you do. Same with the coppers, there's always good and bad. There must be people who are with you. With the police, if you're going to them with evidence to say there's paedophiles, surely they're backing you.
Aye. The day there's a lot of the street police day back is like a lot of them.
And PPU. Day. I think Glasgow PPU, but Edinburgh don't really like us. No one in Edinburgh seems to really
Why?
Like us.
There's a DS in Edinburgh, right? I gave my statement as a hunter, right? So my statement's quite important, right? Not as important as the decoy, but I'm next in line basically. So I've gave my statement, and me and Christopher, one of the security boys, who'd gave a statement as well. We left to go and get something to eat for the team. We brought food back for the team who were arguing statements. And this DS came out to me and she said, "Gordon, can I have a wee word with you?" I says, "Aye, no problem." I went into the room. Now, we've all gave statements saying who went live, which phone was used and things like that, right? And she said, "Listen, I don't like you going live. It's causes this and it causes that." I said, "Listen, I'm only interested in Wayne's. I'm not interested in a paedophile safety. I don't give a fuck if they get lured. I mean, I'm going live and I'm not stopping." She went, "Give me your phone and your camera." I said, "Why?" She went, "Cause I'm taking it." And I went, "And why are you taking it?" And she went, "Evidence." And I had to sign her a GoPro camera and a Samsung S7 there. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I've never had it back.
I've never had a single one of my phones back from the police ever. You're still waiting on ones from Edinburgh last year, aren't you?
So still many people are messaging me right now, well, the last 6 months, to really get involved with the paedophile rings and the grooming gangs that are involved in Glasgow, because apparently it's becoming one of the biggest targets in the UK, which I've not seen yet, but I've been reading about it the last couple of months. Yeah. I believe there was a police sting 3 years ago. I think, was it 40-odd men or...? Yesterday it was in the papers?
No, there was 44 victims.
44 victims, but it only came to light yesterday. Yeah. Why are we not getting taught about what's going on here in Glasgow?
Because they know that the public are angry when a paedophile is exposed. You know what I mean? The public, they get angry, but we've got a right to be angry. But we've also got a right to be able to protect our children. Now, if you're arresting a paedophile, putting them through court, and then that paedophile's just coming out of court and we don't know who he is, he's back ruining our children again.
How bad is the grooming gangs in Glasgow just now?
I think they're like... The thing is very difficult for us, but also for the police. Whenever I've spoken to the police have had a hard time like piecing stuff together, trying to work out. But I've spoken to at least 3 separate men who've been driving up like Victoria Road and have been like stopped somewhere and have been asked like, "Do you want to go with this girl or this boy?" Like, we've heard a lot of rumours that like on Allison Street there are rooms that are littered with like pink or blue lights to indicate like what kind of children are available. But it's also really difficult to determine like how much of that is fact and how much of that is like anti-immigration sentiment, you know, or the two things kind of come together. I wouldn't have any doubt that it's definitely happening. And I think even for the police, it's very hard for them to, because it's organised crime, right? This isn't like, you know, earlier we were talking about like 4 men who own a kebab shop and bring someone. This is like Slovakian gangsters or like, you know.
The Romanian stuff, yeah. How, when you receive the messages as well, how sick are they? Do you ever feel sick yourself? Do you ever think and question it, why the fuck am I doing this? No, especially if you're getting to jail all the time and you're seeing so many messages, but you're still getting the results. Was there anything that will make you stop?
I've got this wee motto that I just came in my head one day, can't stop, won't stop. I mean, I can't stop now. I know the problem.
Too far deep, innit?
I know the problem, so if I walk away from it, it's, the police are bullying me at the moment, right? Harassing me.
To stop?
Aye. Mm-hmm. Now, if I stop, who else does it? CPS and things like that, we've raised more awareness about child abuse in Scotland than any other organisation in the history of Scotland, right? Why are they no grateful for that? Why are they no building on that? Mm-hmm. Why don't they say to us, right, you just can stop now, we're going to take the reins?
Mm-hmm. The paedophile rings, but they go right for the tap, where it's for, you look at Prince Andrew, you look at Epstein, you look at Jimmy Savile. They're working with the biggest names in the world. There's a lot more cover-ups than people understand. And you tell this to people, they think you're crazy.
Aye.
I've spoke to many people who's worked for the BBC, who's worked in politics. I know what they've got in black and white. I know how deep it does go, and it can be scary to expose fucking big names, but as a father myself, you can't shy away from it, no matter what's going to come your way, no matter if it's a jail, no matter, listen, if it's a black guys in suits just coming to fucking put you in a van and take you away, because if you create enough noise, sure as fuck, that shit happens. Mm-hmm. And people don't realise the extent of how unsafe it is. What do you think of the paedophile rings and stuff? Why the higher powers and organisations?
It's been happening since the beginning of time. The Romans saw wee boys as a luxury. Now, they had all these beautiful women slaves, but they still took wee boys as a luxury. That's the way they seen it, as a luxury. You know what I mean? A wee boy. And that's been happening all through. You look at the 70s, the sex parties a certain gangster was having with MPs, chief of police, things like that. That proves that it's still happening at a very high level.
I get told, I think I interviewed somebody there on Sunday, Sarah Jane Barker, Baker, the longest serving transgender, and when Ronnie Cray, what one was he?
Ronnie.
When he got to jail for his big sentence, he got caught. He was in bed with a 14-year-old boy.
Aye.
So he was.
I mean, like.
And the reason why they had the footage of them and MPs at sex parties, but what happened is somebody made a phone call to say get rid of that. No meaning to get rid of that, because they were going to use that to get away with their murders. But apparently, they, when he says get rid of it, they burnt the evidence instead of just hiding it because the house was getting busted. That's so right. It goes a lot deeper than yet. I'm finding it all this shit as well. And it's you question yourself because it drains you constantly. The amount of messages I get from people, because I'm speaking to a lot of people like yourselves, a lot of people are scared to talk about these subjects.
Right.
It's scary for people. And you can understand as well, but it takes a lot of courage and bottle to do what you guys are doing, honestly.
Well, some people, I mean, look at, do you know this woman, Melanie Shaw? Have you ever heard of her? She's from England. Like, I can't exactly remember the story, but she was exposing abuse and like maybe abuse that had happened to her in childhood. But she's been in prison now for like 10, 15 years or something because it, but not for any real reason, you know? She's just talking too much. So it's like, we'll just pop you away into isolation. Mm-hmm.
I just had a girl on my podcast called Barbara O'Hare, who just released a book called The Hospital. They used to take kids, this is high class doctors, used to take kids, drug them, rape them and kill them. Because it was a mental institute, when the kids went to the police, nobody would believe them because it was on their record that they were mentally unstable. So that's what they used to do. Mm-hmm. As soon as they got them in there, no matter what these kids say, they're lying. So these kids used to get drugged, abused and raped and killed. They were killing fucking kids. And this is a high profile doctor, Aston Hall, is where this is what they used to do to the kids, because they used to take the vulnerable kids, the ones who are from broken homes, the ones who are causing trouble, the ones that nobody would believe when they go. So they know exactly what they're doing. As much as when yous have got a list, a checklist of what yous need to do to get a conviction, these paedophiles have got a checklist to know, okay, there's nothing going to come back from that. It's fucking scary.
It's not that. It's just, see, even back in the 80s, like, I remember in my own personal circumstance, like, sitting in a police station and a police telling me to man the fuck up. And I'm sitting there with my nose halfway across my face and things like that, right? And the police actually telling me to man the fuck up. My poor dad was out there greeting. You know what I mean? That's just in the 80s. So, they don't care. You know what I mean? They don't care. You know what I mean? It's.
Do you see, who was the boy? I seen the boy in Buchanan Street, him with the tartan scarf.
Craig Bradley.
I seen video. See, this is the thing as well. A lot of people are using these videos as memes, and yeah. I do laugh myself, but then I've got to realise, wait a minute, these guys were there to fucking meet kids. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And the boy with the tartan, I laughed at these videos because I'm thinking, phone my mammy, I've got a job. And you're thinking, fucking idiot. But then once you actually take a step back and realise they were there to meet kids, it makes you realise that this shit's going on. How, what about him? Because I know he was one of your biggest videos with him.
A strange conversation with Craig Bradley at court. I was on bail conditions at the time, saying I couldn't take anything to Davey Wolfpack. I'd just been remanded but got released on compassionate grounds because somebody died. And I was walking to the court, but we got told it'd been transferred to the opposite court, which was across the landing. So I was walking and Craig Bradley was walking that way. So I went, Craig, it's that way, mate. And he went, listen, can I talk to you? And I went, what? And he went, I know what I did was wrong. If I walk in that courtroom and say that I'm not guilty, I'm no, I mean, I'm basically lying, ain't I? You know what I mean? So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to admit to what I done. And I went, well, if you did that, fair play to you. You know I mean? And he actually went in and pleaded guilty because he believes that it was just a one-off, that it was just that he got caught up in a conversation, you know what I mean? So, like, I find that weird myself, you know what I mean?
What age was the kid he was meeting?
Was he 14 or 13? But, you know, he was taking her swimming and then to a hotel. Like, it wasn't like he'd just got caught up, you know? It was weird. I think the thing is, there have been ones, Stevie Gordon, Craig Bradley, Jim Kelly, Scott McKenna. They are funny. Like, there's no way that you can... come on, it's funny. But what their reaction is funny, but their crime isn't funny. Yeah. But I think that we can have two views at the same... You know, we can hold those two opinions at the same time.
Do they ever have any compassion themselves? Do they realise, okay, what I've done here is
for
wrong?
For themselves.
I need help.
Or is it constant excuses?
Never ever own a sting if we seen compassion.
No, they feel bad for themselves.
They feel
that's
compassionate about themselves. They feel like, oh, my life, what am I going to do? Oh, with my poor wife, oh, what, I mean, how's this going to affect me?
There's a lot of people single or married that you catch.
I think it's probably Max. About 50-50, isn't it? Aye. There's loads of people married.
With their own kids?
With their own kids.
There's people, there's the police or social work go and search their own house and question their own kids then to see.
Supposedly their house gets raided and their devices get took, and then that would mean that the social work would get involved. I mean,
but the sheriff, I think it's harder, it's getting harder for the police to get the sheriff to give them the warrant to do. That's what I've heard anyway. In England, I think it's like... Defo's happening, your house's defo's getting searched. But I think again in Scotland, the sheriff finds it, I don't know, for some reason, like, oh, maybe we won't bother doing that.
The police will claim one thing, but they are a totally different thing.
What's the biggest sentence you have got so far?
44 months, I think it is. Mm-hmm. 44 months.
That's quite long, but for a paedophile, to be fair.
And he went in on Christmas Eve. Yeah. So nice. We've had a couple going on.
What was
Christmas
his crime?
Eve. Was she 12 or 13?
12.
Yeah, she was tough, but he had a lot of brief. You're not going to be able to do anything about him, no. I don't think, ever.
Is there a lot of re-offenders?
Aye. We've caught... I sling a guy and he had learning difficulties. When I got there, I seen that he had quite clear learning difficulties, so I didn't go live with him. His carer ran up and an altercation took place. They were kind of put in a place, but when we all go back in the motor... The police said they were jailing him, right? But when we all go back in the motor, we were like, we should have been live because that carer's got something to do with us. It was dodgy, you know what I mean? I just wish I'd filmed it. What was it, 3 months later, he was back and he was talking and all that. So I thought to myself, do you know what, fuck you, you're getting stung this time. We went to Edinburgh and I stung him. He sat there and had a full conversation with me, so his learning difficulties weren't that bad.
Well, he knew how to go on the internet and buy a teddy bear for a 12-year-old boy.
But he admitted that the police that night, he remembered me for this thing before, and I said to him, what happened? And he said, the police just took me in the van and took me home. So he didn't even get to jail, didn't get charged.
I've seen some people getting stung and the paedophiles getting caught and they're coming up with excuses. I think one of the guys says he had dyslexia.
Oh yeah, I love dyslexia. Yeah. Dyslexia, it was just talk. I was coming to meet her just to tell her to go home.
Yeah.
Used to be a real classic. Craig Bradley uses it, but you don't tend to hear it so much anymore. Yeah.
The ones you have got convicted, we're going to put at the end of this podcast, some of them with the sentences. Listen, so people can see their face as well, because it's always handy, because I know some people are back at work, working in buses, working in certain fields who have been caught, and... There should be a law that they shouldn't be allowed to work with public.
No,
that's
shouldn't
got to be put in place. That that is a danger, because I know you spoke earlier and you think that these people are not just paedophiles, but they potentially could kill kids.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it like to him blue in the face that Jordan Yardley is a potential child killer.
Absolutely.
Like, I believe that boy is potentially going to kill Wayne when he's older. Like when he goes out of jail, he's doing what, 36 months?
Yeah.
3 years? He's doing 3 years than the causes, but. When he gets out, he's a serious danger to children.
How do you know that?
Oh, he's just so dead.
His reaction. Totally like, I was saying to him, do you know you're a paedophile? And he's going, like, he just didn't care. And he kept staring at my decoy, like, the decoy's standing on the side of me, and he kept, like, pure staring through. And I had to say to him, I said, stop fucking looking at her like that. And then the camera went dead. Like, my phone ran out of battery, and I said, so I had time, and I said to him, listen, keep your fucking eyes off the woman in this team and face me and talk to me. And he's like, right, I will. See, as soon as the camera went back on again, he went right back into her eyes and was staring right through her again. I had to walk away.
Who was he supposed to meet?
He was there to meet a 12-year-old Wayne.
Fucking hell, man.
Oh, but listen to this, mate. It was the worst day of the year. The worst day in my lifetime, weather-wise. It was, the snow was like pure deep. It was probably -4 outside. He told the Wayne to wear a wee tiny skirt, nae pants on, and a wee blouse. And he was going to take her into woods across the road, fuck her, and put her back on the fucking train. And he only got 3 years. But he got bailed the next day, and parents saw him run at a primary school. So they challenged him, but he ran off. And then they seen him again, and they challenged him and caught him. And the police then remanded him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then he was convicted.
So he's only got 3 years, and you think potentially he's got that?
He needs work.
Probably getting battered, though. Yeah. He might not make it out. I mean, I think we heard a little rumour he got battered on the first night.
Aye.
How does it feel that you've had nearly 60 convictions so far? How does that make you feel?
Oh, it's a buzz. Like, see, when they get convicted, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Do you go to every court case?
We go to the ones we have to, but if we're not called as witnesses, no one asks us and we never hear anything about it. We don't know whether they've been convicted.
But you're not the main witnesses then, or you're not the main?
They say we're not real victims, so we just don't need to know.
The PF hides it, face. They don't like us knowing. You know what I mean? So they'll actively hide it.
Mm-hmm. So going forward for the future then, guys, what's the plans for yous?
We just keep hunting, we keep exposing paedophiles, and we keep exposing the system's failure to do anything about these paedophiles.
What about yourself, Ollie?
Well, I guess we're about to recruit some new decoys, and so we'll be going through that process. We lost, you know, because of the court case, we lost 4 really key members last year as well, so we're still
my son
growing it.
One of the admin team and 2 security were hit with banning orders for 2 years, stating that they couldn't take part in any Wolfpack activities because a troll had been, you know, Stuart McInroy, he had messaged Alan Bryant Jr.
Listen, Ollie, thanks for telling your
You're
story.
You're welcome. Good, and I'll see you soon.
Cheers. Hi. Take care, bro. See you
later. Aye, so we'd arranged to meet him at Hall Beef Trains, bus station that morning. Yeah, I'll go back to the start. Right, so he's trolling the team, right? He was saying about raping my Wayne and all that kind of thing, right? So I was angry at this, you know what I mean? I put on my face, but I've got a lot of traveller pals through bare knuckle boxing. I've got a lot of traveller pals, and I knew he was working doing South with Travellers. So I tagged him all and I said, listen, this guy's a beast, get him the fuck out of the community. That night, he'd been removed from the community, kind of thing. And he was headed back to Scotland. So I got word he was coming into Hall Beef Station. We went there at 7 o'clock in the morning and we were sitting there waiting. We waited for hours, but then we found out that he wasn't coming at all. So we came back to Glasgow, but some of the team went to Edinburgh bus station just to have a wee scout about. My son, Carl, and Big Marston, the Polish boy, and they ended up getting a hold of him. They took him at the bus station. They walked him at the bus station. Right, and shit happened, and he ended up getting punched about a wee bit, and then we've come up no more, and then they ended up getting his eye all burst open as well. So the police came on the scene, and we were all arrested. We were all remanded in custody. Like, there was no talking about it; it was just a straight remand. And he's never been convicted of anything. Hear that? You know what I mean? But we were all in. I got my not guilty plea accepted because I wasn't going guilty at all. I believed in everything we'd done was justified. I still do to this day.
Self-defence as well, isn't it?
Self-defence, aye. Especially when you don't say to another man that you're going to rape his 10-year-old son and then name which school he's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And Alan Bright is... Brian... what's Alan's nickname?
Alan Bryant.
Alan Bryant. Whose son went missing 6 years ago and still no be found. He was getting trolled also by this boy. Aye. And putting his dad through a lot of shit as well. Do you know what I mean?
He came into the hunting community about 2 years ago and he was trolling a lassie down south. Like, really fucking badly trolling this lassie, threatening her wains and things like that. And he ended up getting to jail. But he got to the jail and he started again. But he always kind of knew to stay away from my team because we were here in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
But then one day I'm at a team meeting and my phone goes and he starts, it's this fake profile, but he starts talking about raping my boy and all that. But in my mind, it was an Edinburgh accent. So I was screaming on the phone and all that kind of thing. I put my Facebook on the page. Anybody with any knowledge of this profile, let me know. right away I started getting messages at Stuart McInroy. So I phoned him and I said to him, listen Stuart, I know that's you. And he went, oh, this isn't Stuart, shit himself. And I said, I'm coming to your address tonight. That night he left and went down his travels down south. Know what I mean? So I couldn't get a hold of him, know what I mean? But I was always desperate to get a hold of him because he kept going. Know what I mean? See, when he was safe down there, he kept going and going and going. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another one that we'll never learn.
How many wolf packs are there? How many paedophile hunters are there? Many groups in the UK?
In the UK there's over 100, but in Scotland there's maybe 6.
Is everybody else getting treated the way you're getting treated in all these other groups?
No. Down south, predator exposure are getting, like, a bit of a rough time, know what I mean? Because they're like us, they don't give a fuck. They don't walk up to the predator and be all polite and nice to them, know what I mean? But up here, I kind of get it because I started it. Like, I started hunting in Scotland, so I think the Crown believe if they can get me out of the way, everybody else will stop.
We'll shut them down.
But we've got cracking teams like Child Protector Scotland. They're a brilliant team. Mm-hmm. They'll keep going, know what I mean? We've got a new team started up, SCO. Safeguarding Kids Online or something like that. They're a good team.
Say if somebody wants to get involved and come and help yous, how can they get in contact with yous?
Just message a page, but they'll have to like meet us and all that, and like I'll judge if the person's going to be alright or no, you know what I mean?
Because it could be scary. That, can you imagine getting a paedophile working with yous?
It's happened.
Has
it happened? Right, down south, this wee guy was a decoy on a team, or his security on a team. He's sitting there talking to a fucking Wayne online. But the Wayne is actually a decoy for that team. So he turns up to meet the Wayne and his same team turn up and sting him. And in another case, a hunter was actually a paedophile. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had been done twice for it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You need to be careful because that gives them a free for all to talk what they want, because if they get caught, oh, I was only working.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
I got a lot of people bitching about my team, like, because we've no got SIA cards, because some of these have got criminal records and things like that, right? But my team are real people, you know what I mean? Like, I know my team.
But take away your convictions, take away your past. It's the fact what you're doing with your future.
That's
and it's helping fucking Wayne's no get abused. People need to see the bigger picture, that the work you've put in. And I says it before, mate, I take my hat off to what you're doing, because it takes a lot of courage to put yourself in the front line, and that's what you're doing. There's not a lot of people, it's all right for people sitting on the sidelines and pointing fingers and making excuses and being angry, but what if it's one of their kids?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Wayne's can be groomed easy at 11, 12, 13 and 4 for somebody's shite, and it's scary to think. I think a lot of things should get put in place in primary school to understand grooming and where it actually is, because I still don't know the full gist yet. We're still learning, but I'd imagine with so many Wayne's getting abused, it must be pretty easy for them to groom Wayne's.
It's an epidemic.
Do you know what I mean?
Honestly, it's an epidemic here. Like, for every one we catch, we could have stung 100. Like, there's 100 that we could have got, but they slipped the net, they blocked the profile before we could get to the bottom of it.
When you say slipped the net, is that like deleting a profile, moving on?
Aye. There's been a few times where, like, we've been... There's hundreds of times we've been out to get somebody that I meet, they've no turned up, and then they've deleted their profile, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Maybe got spooked. You know what I mean? There's a couple of times we've been out, a few times. We were through in Livingston, like, numerous times trying to get this guy, and we couldn't get him. Like, we call him Feet because he was so interested in feet. You know what I mean? He had a foot fetish or whatever it was, and like, we were so desperate to get him. And he disappeared for like 3 months, and gutted, thinking he'd slipped in it again. But then he comes back. And he meets us in the town centre, and we get him. He's a Polish boy, you know what I mean? Like Marek something, but like, it was good to get him, because usually the ones that they delete their profiles or block us or whatever, they don't come back, you know what I mean? And it's...
Aye. Do yous find a lot of foreigners, or is it a lot of your hometown Glasgow people?
It's... I think it goes by population, basically. I mean, so like, say I've done 100 stings, maybe 90 will be white Scottish people, 10 will be foreigners, you know what I mean? It's just, there's no rise when it comes to foreigners or nothing like that. You know,
because
I mean?
As much as we can, people can focus on grooming gangs and that as well, and say it might be for a certain religion, but the main paedophiles and rapists in the world, not just the UK, are white.
Aye.
Or white male, do you know what I mean? So just going forward for the future then, I know you're trying to get more numbers and build your team, and listen, good luck with this police and that as well in your court cases. But for anybody watching, that's maybe got a story or maybe know a paedophile, how can they get in contact with you?
They just message my page. If they message my page, they'll get a response. You know what I mean? We respond to every message. You know what I mean? And like, they'll be checked out. Like, I check them out for the street, basically. You know what I mean? So like, I'll know if they're a good person or if they're a cunt. You know what I mean? I'll know.
And the Facebook Live stuff that you do, so that's legal then for you to do that?
Like, you think, like, you can film anybody you want. I can go and film the police. I can just film the police, like, pulling somebody if I want, and there's nothing they can do about that. You know what I mean? So, like, it's no different when it comes to being a paedophile. You know what I mean? They're trying to make it different.
They try to change the law on that?
No, what they're doing is they're putting five things together that are the crimes by themselves, but they're putting all together to make it look like a crime is committed. So they'll say, like, the like my boy's on trial in Airdrie right now, and it's a farce. It's like, they put three things together that are the crimes, but made it look like a crime. We're up in Edinburgh for unfurling a banner, being dressed in black, like, and going live on Facebook. None of the three are crimes, but they put the three together and make it seem as if something sinister's happened.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So I'm not sure how they can get a conviction based on no crime actually being committed.
Has any of the paedophiles, while waiting for trial, committed suicide?
Aye, we've had only one. Like,
just the pressure, the stress, being outed. Because I seen a video, I don't know if it was true, on Twitter, that one of the hunters in England, they got a guy, but he ran and threw himself under a van. On Twitter, that was one of them down near London, but it was just the headline, one of the paedophiles running away.
Like, paedophiles threw themselves off the buildings, like, paedophiles hung themselves, all that kind of shit.
But for me, if they're want to fuck kids and want to meet kids as young as 10, I have no sympathy, I have no remorse.
Marco Hamey, he was a dangerous guy. I know, like, we went to his door. He was kidding on, he was a traveller related to the Joyces. I texted Davey and I said, listen, this guy related to you? No, he's fuck all day with us. We chap his door and he opens the door and it's just pure smelly. You know what I mean? Like, he smells of shite and all that. He's got My Little Pony fucking bed sheets up his curtains, and this big hairy ass man with long black straggly hair, big fucking stab wounds in his belly and all that, answers the door. And he starts fucking, like, fucking all that kind of talk. He ends up shutting the door on us, but he ends up getting to jail, and a couple of days later he committed suicide. You know what I mean? But people say, did you go sleep? No, I don't know sleep. I'm fucking happy that man is dead, because he's a paedophile and he's a danger to Wains. I've lost two in my team's lost two to suicide. You know what I mean? Like, two decoys have lost their Wains to suicide since they've been part of my team. I've had to go to their funerals and watch the pain and suffering on their lasses' faces. So I lost sleep about that. I don't lose sleep about a paedophile then. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely, man. And Gordon, for what you're doing, mate, it's nobody else is doing it. So I would keep doing what you're doing. And I know it can be hard, especially with the police and a lot of backlash that comes with it. But for people looking at the outside, they've got to see the bigger picture. Over 100 people you've helped get convicted, and 60 have been, I know you're still some pending, and a few thousands have slipped through the net. That just shows you how big this is and how big a problem it is. So if they take the numbers down where yous are getting to jail and shut yous down, then child abuse is just going to shoot up and rise, because that gives them a free-for-all. Because listen, if they're in their mind, no, they know the hunters are there to catch them. So will it give them second thoughts? Okay, I'll no message this way, because maybe potentially, if you don't catch them, but it could potentially still save other Wains, because in their mind they might think they're getting tricked or set up to give their information. So either way, they're still going to be wary. You're going to get the dangerous ones who just don't care, who are blatantly honest about it. Is there enough things in place in the prison system for them to speak to people?
No.
Or did people actually, is there anybody ever came forward to who's got the thoughts, never acted on it, but spoke out about it?
I've heard about people doing that.
I heard somebody done it on Twitter. Used to have like a helpline. He used to watch his neighbour's kids. He says he has the thoughts, he's sexually attracted to kids, but he's never acted on his actions, but he's wanting to be a voice for other people. Because listen, if you've got any sort of problems or addictions, drugs, whatever, it's hard enough to admit. So can you imagine if you were fucking sexually attracted to kids? You're not going to speak to anybody, so they're just going to hide it all, block it out, and then probably act on it. Do you think there should be enough things in place as well? I know you think they should all be fucking hung and this and that, and I get it, I do.
Hey, but Matt, my view on this is like, they say, oh, but they're sexually attracted to them, that's why they act on it. Right, so you walk down the street and you see a bird that's fucking beautiful, wee mini skirt on and all that. Mm-hmm. Do you walk up and just start shagging up behind? No. No, you don't, do you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Start grooming them and...
You don't act on it, do you? You don't, like, you just think, ah, she's lovely, like, bye. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But these people don't, they've got this sexual attraction and they act on it. Mm. And that's why, like you say, that guy was caught with over 1 million videos. That's 1 million Wayans that have been sexually fucking abused. That's mm-hmm. Wayans that have been raped and all. Mm-hmm. 1 million of them, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's staggering. And that's, he's obviously not got every video there is. You know what I mean? So how many millions of videos are there?
Aye.
You know what I mean? How many millions of Wayans have been raped?
And that's scary to think, mate. It is, it's, I can't even, it's a thing that you try not to think about as much, but when you start hearing people's stories, then it's something that you kind of stop that getting involved with and helping people tell their stories to try and stop others. So for everything you do, mate, I take my hat off to you. I think it's phenomenal, and especially with the shit that you get, and it's great to tell your story and eventually put it across actually what you do and need and what you go through. Is there anything you'd like to finish up on, mate?
No, I just like tell people to check their Wayans devices at all times, because nowadays paedophiles are in your front room. Mm-hmm. Used to be you had to watch the scary old man with the fucking old Mac on. No anymore. They're in your front room and they're in 24/7.
Because I heard like the app TikTok, I just deleted all my daughters there. That is so bad for grooming gangs. So as it's riddled for paedophiles, like you say. It's so many people grooming Wayans on that.
There was an app going about a couple of years ago, I can't remember what it's fucking called now, it slipped my mind. But the way, what it was you got your own wee clique of people, so you got all your pals and your added pals and all that, and they would send you like love hearts, presents, stars and things like that to build your popularity. Every week you'd get a prize for being the most popular person on that in your wee clique kind of thing. These paedophiles were going on there and they were saying to the Wayans, lift your tap up and I'll send you a love heart. You know what I mean? These wee Wayans are lifting their tap up so they can get this fucking love hat for popularity. You know what I mean? The post, like, approach these apps, they tell the post to fuck off. They're all in Canada, fucking all different mad countries. You know what I mean? And they just tell the post, no, they're no helping them. Mm-hmm. Like, why would they do that? Mm-hmm. It's like Snapchat. Why would Snapchat, what is the reason behind Snapchat?
40s videos.
It's crime. Or it's paedophilia, if you think about it. But why do you need 40s to be deleted instantly? Mm-hmm. Why do you need to know somebody's screenshots of 40 you send? Like, why do you need to know all this, right? Why is it so encrypted? And why do they refuse to help the police? Like, you don't need that.
Set up for the paedophile rings so they can share all their information as well.
That and drug dealers and fucking criminals. All right, good people fucking use the app, you know what I mean? But
that's like I said before, there's good and bad and everything, but people will utilise certain things to their advantage, especially paedophiles who groom. They manipulate the mindset, who can manipulate the situation that they're in. They think they're two steps ahead, but thankfully for you guys and the people who are doing it all over the UK, there's been thousands of convictions. Aye. That's thousands of convictions. Do you know what I mean?
It's like they moan about this, but they'll still use their evidence. They'll still have us sitting in a court. Like, we sat in a courtroom Monday. We sat for 9:30 in the morning to 4:00 in the afternoon, didn't get used. Went back on the Tuesday, sat for 9:30 in the morning to, I left at 2:30 because I had to go and get my son. But all I sat there to 4:00 and we didn't get used again. So it was like 14 hours sat in a court, not to get used.
Did it send you videos as well on the Facebook and other apps? Did the paedophiles send you videos?
A lot of the time they send us pictures in videos of how to masturbate. Like, they don't know why, right? So they're always sending videos to the Wayan how to masturbate, because they're trying to tell the Wayan to touch herself, you know what I mean? So we're always like, why would you do that, and all that kind of thing. So they'll send videos of like a woman masturbating, or if it's a boy, they'll send a picture of a guy. But that happens a lot.
And this is when you tell them, like, you're 10, 11, 12.
10, 11, 12, you're up to 14.
That's fucking scary, man. That is so scary. And like I say, you've said before that thousands have slipped through your fingers.
Aye.
But if you just keep going, mate, and keep doing what you're doing, then you're only doing a good thing in my eyes, and you've got massive respect from my side. So anything I can help with in the future, you know, I'm only a phone call away. And everything you do, mate, Gordon, it's been an absolute pleasure. You thanks for coming on today. Stay safe, brother. You can also watch my podcast on my YouTube channel. The link is in the bio if you'd like to subscribe. You can follow me on my social media platforms to see who my next guest is. Follow me on Facebook at JamesEnglish11, Twitter, JamesEnglish0, Instagram, JamesEnglish2. You can also download these podcasts on iTunes or Spotify.